I could ask a very dangerous question and ask how many of you are good at listening. Well, when our eldest son was about 3 or 4 years of age, my sister-in-law, Dave's sister, and I saw a parenting course advertised that we thought looked fantastic. We enrolled to go. It was at one of the local churches where we were living, not a Salvation Army church, another church. And the course was titled, How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen, and Listen So Your Kids Will Talk. And it's based on this best-selling book that there'll be a picture, I think, come up on the screen. Now, to be honest, all these years later, I can't remember a lot about this course, but I'm sure that it revolutionised my parenting at the time. I can imagine that it's probably would be more beneficial now, and now that we have teenage boys rather than preschool-age children. But I do, however, remember that there was a lot of teaching about actively listening and how sometimes the most important thing we can do with our children and indeed with all people when we're communicating with them is for us to stop talking and to simply listen to what they're saying. Well, today we commence a new series, and if you're a regular attender here or you've picked up a copy of our Parramatta's or you've had it emailed to you, you'll know that we're commencing this series. It's titled Hearing from God. And over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack how we can best position ourselves to hear from God and what are perhaps some of the barriers that prevent us from listening to and from hearing God's voice. We heard just a few moments ago from a wonderful and fascinating scripture about the boy Samuel. I know there was about 8 of the bandsmen who went this morning to the Willows and led the service there, and I know that you've already heard that scripture as well there this morning. But Samuel was a much wanted child. Earlier in 1 Samuel in chapter 1, we read the story of his mum Hannah and her consistent and almost desperate prayers to God to gift her with a son. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, it says in scripture, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. Well, God answered her prayers and blessed her with a boy who she named Samuel. And when Samuel was a young child, Hannah fulfilled the promise that she had made to God, and his parents took him to the temple where he stayed under the care of the priest Eli. Eli was raising him and teaching him in the ways of the Lord. And it's while he was there that we pick up the story that we heard read to us earlier by Jim and Janet. Samuel was there in the temple, laying in the temple. In the house of the Lord, it says, where the ark of God was. Now, this isn't normal practice for us, is it? Although we do joke occasionally about how we should bring our bed here because we spend so much time here. But really, I don't want to sleep in this beautiful facility, although I do love coming here. But this is what Samuel was used to. In fact, he probably didn't remember any different apart from laying in the temple. But what Samuel hadn't grown up with was hearing the voice of God. Because in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So Samuel is sleeping and he hears someone call out to him. Now, naturally, as a child, Samuel assumed that this was Eli the priest. So he goes in to see Eli. If you're to continue reading the story in 1 Samuel in chapter 4, the scriptures give us a description of Eli. It says that Eli was 98 years of age, that he had poor eyesight, and it describes him as being heavy, which is the Bible's gracious way of saying that he was overweight. And so Samuel goes in to see Eli, and Samuel some commentators suggested, would have been very used to hearing Eli call him from other parts of the temple, because they believed that with his vision and his size, it would have been hard for Eli to move around. So Samuel goes in and says to Eli, "You called me." And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back to sleep." So the same thing happens again, and again Eli says that he didn't call him. And when Samuel heard his name called the third time, he goes for a third time in to see the priest. But Eli realized actually what was happening. And he says to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening." When God spoke to him, Samuel was just a boy. He was still learning and still growing in his knowledge and understanding of God. He didn't recognize the voice of God. But once Eli told him what to do, Samuel went back. He waited again and he listened for the voice of God. The very fact that God spoke in this time when his voice, the word, was rare, there weren't many visions. The fact that God spoke to a child, and even the fact that Samuel was willing to listen, are all wonderful aspects of this story. And you know, I still believe today that God speaks. God speaks today. He speaks to people of all ages, not always audibly, but he does speak, and we need to be willing to listen. We don't need to be sleeping in a temple, and I'm sure many of you are grateful for that. We don't need to be worshipping God on a mountaintop. We don't need to have the perfect scenario, the perfect recipe in our lives to hear God. But we must be willing to grow and to do our sincere best to listen to his voice and to begin the conversation. You see, Samuel was just a boy. He was still learning. He was still maturing. He was still gaining knowledge of God. But he was still able to listen to the voice of God with instruction from Eli. Most of us would say that we've got important things to talk about. Or so we think that they're important. Perhaps our family and friends don't always think that they're important. But God has more important things to say than us. And for some of us, and I include myself in this, need to be reminded that our conversations with God are two-way. Not just us speaking to him or at him, but if we think about it, we need to stop and to listen to what God is saying, because that's what we do when we're in conversation with other people. If we are waiting to hear God speak on our timetable, exactly when we want him to speak about things that we want him to say, and we just sit there like we saw that couple and that man in that image there, we would get so frustrated. God doesn't always speak to us when we're expecting it, when we want to hear him. But he does speak. And the way that we can encourage this to happen is to actually stop, be quiet, and start listening. Hearing God starts by understanding that he wants to have a conversation with us. Not just be dictated to, not just to give him our list of things that we want to happen, but he wants to be in a relationship, a growing relationship with us. At no point in our lives here on earth will we ever be so knowledgeable of God that we can't learn anymore. Our relationship needs to continue to develop. And we need to come to understand that. We need to continue to mature. Some of us have been Christians for a long time, on this journey of faith for a long time. And yet we can still remain spiritual infants. Time alone doesn't make us mature Christians or more like Jesus, but developing and learning and expanding our relationship with God our Father does. Spending time with him enables us to mature. In Hebrews 5, we read, "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." We don't want to be people who are dull of hearing. We want to be able to distinguish the good from evil, and in order for that to happen, we need to continue to mature in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Most of you here will know that Dave, Josiah and I, Josiah's our 14-year-old son, flew to Adelaide on Wednesday for a quick 36-hour trip. And I could get away with saying this in the 9:30 because Dave wasn't there, but Dave will tell you that we went to Adelaide so that he could graduate from university, but I will tell you that I went to Adelaide to celebrate our eldest son's 19th birthday. He lives in Adelaide. This is Noah now on the screen. One of my biggest moments in my parenting journey so far, apart from attending that course that did nothing for me some 15 years ago, was when we moved to Sydney just 3 or so months ago, leaving Noah behind in Adelaide. In my mind, I ask myself a lot of questions, and sometimes I verbalise these to Dave and to other family members and our friends, and I question whether we made the right decision in leaving Noah there. I ask people, have I deserted him? Is he capable of adulting? That's what Noah calls it, adulting. Does he have the knowledge he needs, particularly to clean? That's my thing. Well, when we arrived at his house on Wednesday morning, I realised that he's doing quite well in so many aspects of life. The toilet and the shower were very clean, and I was very proud that my knowledge has, you know, fed through to practical aspect of his life. Sure, not everything in his life is easy, not everything is perfect, but he's developing and maturing and continually learning what it is to be a grown-up. And whilst we are extremely proud of the way he's navigating life, we still want greater things for him. He has more growing and maturing to do. And what kind of parents would we be if we didn't want that to happen for him? And so we talk to him. That is, actually, if he takes our calls. We encourage him. We show him new things. We continue to educate him. And it's all part of his growing up. You know, as a father, God wants maturity for you and for me. And he wants us to get there sooner rather than later. He doesn't want us to be idle in our relationship with him. Yes, God loves us no matter what stage of our journey we are on, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been in life. God still loves us. But there is so much more for us to learn and experience of our Heavenly Father. He doesn't need us to be perfect. He just needs us to be open and willing. And we need to be mature enough and continuing to grow in our faith to recognize him and to know when he speaks to us. Of course, one of the greatest challenges we have in today's day and age is that we are trying to hear the voice of God in a very noisy and crowded world. God is not the only one speaking. We can easily be distracted by what's going on around us. There's so much technology, so many people, and so much to do that life can be overwhelming and so busy and almost out of control. We simply don't think that we have the time or permission to stop or even slow down. Sometimes we don't have enough time to spend with our spouses, or our children, grandchildren, family and friends, let alone with God. There are places to be and things to do, and we have very little chance or opportunity to engage in conversation with our human people that we love, let alone with God. And as a consequence to this, we can at times listen to the loudest voices. Perhaps it could be social media, movies, TV shows, negative people in the world, even the devil. And as a result, our relationships can deteriorate. Our relationship with God deteriorates. And we don't know who it is that's actually speaking anymore. One of Satan's plans against the attacking against God's people, more often than not, is to create confusion. He wants to twist and distort God's voice and God's words so that we're distracted and unable to hear clearly from God. But when we are continuing to grow in our relationship with God, when we are grounded in Him, when we are continuing to learn, to listen to the positive voices, to study His word, we can discern the voices in our world and we can figure out what comes from God and what does not. We can distinguish between right and wrong. And maturity means that we're learning how to tune into the right voices rather than the loudest voices. You know, I read a book some years ago about spiritual disciplines, and one of the disciplines that was mentioned in this book was the discipline of silence. And I took it upon myself that I would create some silence in my life. I'm an introvert by nature. Some of you may find that strange, but I love to be at home alone. My husband can't understand that at all. And even last night, I was so excited when I was gifted about 5 hours of being home alone because they went off to the football. But you know, even in my introvertedness and my wanting to be alone, there's still noise, isn't there? You put on the television. You might go to another room, but the noise is still there and you're tuning in. I put music on sometimes and I go upstairs and I can still hear the music. So a number of years ago at our previous appointment, which was quite busy, or our previous core appointment that was quite busy, I set myself the challenge to drive to and from the office in silence, to turn the radio and the music off in the car, which is a big thing for me because I love music, love to sing to myself as I'm driving along like a lot of other people. But that actually changed a lot of my life. It created space for me to hear, to gather my own thoughts, and to pray as I was driving along, extra time to spend with God. I did pray with my eyes open, you'll be pleased to know, as I was driving through Adelaide. But at first it was confronting, and our 12-minute drive or my 12-minute drive to and from the office used to take forever. But then I came to really enjoy that time that I could just have peace and quiet and to block out the noise of the world just for those few minutes every day. Some of you may be thinking, oh, Kylie, this is so crazy what you're saying. God never speaks to me. And my response to you this day is to wait and to be patient. The beginning of Psalm 40 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. David, the writer of this psalm, knew where his help came from, not from other people, not from his own strength, but from God. David closed his metaphorical laptop, if you like, didn't Google the answers, didn't consult other mediums. He slowed down and he waited patiently for the Lord. I wondered this week as I was looking at this scripture again, perhaps David picked up his harp and played. Maybe he went for a walk. Maybe he laid down outside and looked up at the sky. He made space and he waited patiently for the Lord to help him. Waiting for God means that we are allowing space for God to speak. As I said, there is no doubt in my mind that God still speaks, whether that's audible, whether it's through nature, through scriptures as we read, through other people, through prayer. And while we can't make God speak to us, we can try to be ready for when he does. So this morning, I want to encourage you to continue to mature and grow in your faith. And I want to encourage you to choose to wait and to listen. And as you're maturing still in your faith, in your knowledge of God, then when God speaks, you will hear and recognize his voice. As you wait, you might find that the noise of the world begins to drop, that distractions wither away, and that the voice that you have been trying to hear may suddenly become clear. And perhaps if you are really brave, you can say the words that Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God of love, that you're a God who wants to be in relationship with us. And Lord, my prayer for each one of us here today is that we will continue to mature in our faith and continue to grow our relationship with you. We thank you that you sent Jesus and that it's because of Jesus that we can have this relationship with you. But Lord, we know that there is so much noise in the world, that we can get distracted by so many different things. And just now I ask that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, that you would continue to help our knowledge grow so that we know what comes from you and what comes from the world. We know that your presence goes with us. But Lord, I pray that we would have the patience to stop, to be still, that we would have the courage to sit in silence at times, so that we can hear your voice. We thank you, God, that you do still speak. And I pray that as a church, as a community of faith, that we would be bold enough to say collectively, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." But may we be even braver and say that as our personal prayer. Speak, Lord, for we are listening for what you would want to say to us this day. Thank you for your scriptures and for the lessons that we can learn from them. Help us to continue to keep our eyes on you. I pray in your precious name. Amen.